Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility presents Vermont Conversations with David Goodman, exploring ideas with innovators, change makers, business leaders, politicians, and activists. This special feature from Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility is underwritten in part by the University of Vermont Medical Center, Burlington, Vermont, the heart and science of medicine. By the Alchemist Brewery, serving the greater Waterbury community and Vermont since 2003. By Fairpoint Communications, small businesses make it big with Fairpoint. By Let's Grow Kids, focusing on the first years of child development. By Green Mountain Power, partnering with customers to promote clean, reliable, and cost-effective power. And by National Life Insurance, for more than 150 years working for a better tomorrow, as well as over 750 VBSR members. Here's David Goodman.
Welcome to this week's Vermont Conversation, where you can hear this week and all shows at vermontconversation.com or by going to vbsr.org. This week we're going to be talking about politics, local and national. In the second half of the show, I'll be interviewing Congressman Ron Dellums, who served for nearly three decades in the U.S. House of Representatives, most notably as a kind of an anti-war congressman from Berkeley, California. But in our first half, we're going to revisit a well-known in these parts campaign. A dozen years ago, Vermont Governor Howard Dean announced that he was running for President of the United States. A filmmaker from Stowe, Heath Iden, the owner of the Stowe Media Group, followed Governor Dean around the country on that, quixotic odyssey to launch himself from the Green Mountains to the White House. Before turning to Heath Iden, we're going to go to a series of clips from the film that Heath Iden made, which is called Lessons from an American Primary, some audio clips that kind of chronicle the rise and fall of Governor Howard Dean's campaign. Let's hear some of those sounds now.
There was very important news in the world of politics today for the former governor of Vermont, Democrat Howard Dean. One of the nation's largest unions, the Service Employees International, voted to endorse him for president. This is a pretty clear sign that important elements of the Democratic Party are rallying around him.
Today, the people who have made this campaign possible have voted to decline public financing. We have supported public financing, but the unabashed actions of this president to undercut our democratic process with floods of special interest money have forced us to abandon a broken system. So today we will sign a declaration of independence, a declaration of independence from the special interests that control our politics and our government. We will look hard for 2 million Americans to give this campaign $100 so that we can own our country again. Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is John. I wanted to ask you a question. Why do you want to be president?
I'm running for president, not so much because I happen to be president or I'll never be happy. I'm running for president to give people, ordinary people, a chance to say something about how they want their country to be run. Because we know that if we leave one person behind in this country's not as good or as strong as it should be or as it could be. I was reading a newspaper one time, and something in the newspaper made me mad. The president had done this, not an unusual occasion. And I thought to myself, are you going to complain for 20 more years about this? You're going to get out and do something. And what I'm asking for you tonight is not just your vote or sometime your contribution over the internet. What I'm asking for you tonight is to do something. No more complaining. Now we're going to go out and do something. We're going to take this country back for all of us to have the kind of country that we would love.
Go Good evening. Today was a major turning point in the race for the Democratic presidential nomination as Howard Dean here in New York picked up the formal official endorsement of former Vice President Al Gore 5 weeks before the Iowa caucuses.
I want to do everything I can to convince you to get behind Howard Dean.
In Harlem, the Democrats' last presidential candidate announced his choice for their next presidential candidate.
Gore urged other Democrats not to attack Dean. Invoking the civil rights movement, he said, "Keep your eye on the prize." For NPR News, I'm Andrea Bernstein.
Before Howard Dean got on that stage, before he gave the screen speech, he had a big scarlet letter on his chest because the media had already set him up to be, quote, unelectable, to be too angry, to be too tough on Bush.
With the polls closed, we can report that based on our exit polls, Howard Dean, the former governor of Vermont, will emerge as a distant third.
Howard, who a year ago, the obvious nominee 2 months ago, third place last night and out of the race by this afternoon.
Who owns the corporate media?
And I intend to stand shoulder to shoulder with him as we fight for the things that Harry Truman promised us. I'm Howard Dean, and I'm voting for John Kerry.
Those were some of the voices from a dozen years ago from the campaign trail of Governor Howard Dean. You might say that's a brutally swift chronicle of the rise and fall of the Dean campaign. The story is told in much more detail, color, and nuance in a 90-minute documentary called Lessons from an American Primary. The film, which is going to be released later this year, was produced by Heath Iden, who's the owner of Stowe Media Group. Heath, welcome to the Vermont Conversation.
Hey, thanks a lot, David Goodman, and to the Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility. Thanks for having me on.
So, Heath, as you were listening to those audio clips, I saw you breaking into a broad smile. This represents not only a slice of American political history, but a pretty big slice of your life. What does it make you think to listen back to the Dean campaign that you went on the road and chronicled while it was happening?
It's a double-edged sword. You know, I smile because it was like, wow, what great memories and what an ultimate road trip of a film Lessons from an American Primary is. It just was a privilege to be able to be in that position at that time in my life, right as my children were being born, to be able to go out there and look behind the scenes and see how America actually does choose its leaders and especially its president.
What made you decide to pick up the movie begins with you, as you say, at some pretty pivotal moments in your life, the birth of your first children,
right.
You're neck deep in sawdust as you're rehabbing what looks to be an old farmhouse in Stowe. It looks like you just moved to the area. Take us back into your life. What was going on that led to you deciding to hit the road with Howard Dean?
Well, it's pretty funny. We had been in Manhattan. I was working for a company called Scholastic as a sales district sales manager and flying around the country and working with big-time tech companies. And my wife was at Garmento in New York, and it was time to get out, and we wanted to have a family. So there was an opportunity to buy this old falling-down farmhouse actually on the edge of Stowe in Morrisville. And I started fixing this thing up with local friends and people that I met. And then, you know, this old political bug that I have from growing up in Minnesota with a close relationship with the Mondales got back to me. And suddenly the guy who was practically down the street in Burlington was running for president. And I had looked at this candidate, and because of my background from, you know, the George Washington University and New York University, I saw that this guy was going to have resonate with the people of New Hampshire. So I thought at least he would have a real crack at going to our neighbors in New Hampshire who had really good name recognition with them. And he was also a personality that I thought would explode. And in fact, he was picked up by major news organizations early on and became the darling of the left.
Where'd you go with the Dean campaign?
Well, I started out, of course, in Vermont, and it started out with that governor's portrait that hangs in the State House. I was friends with the artist who painted that, and I got
this,
some footage of him.
This is the famous L.L. Dean portrait.
The famous L.L. Dean portrait turned into a little 10-minute video that I did following him and the painter as they made this painting. Of course, I had an idea it might blossom into something else, as I had a pretty good idea this guy was going to run for president and would make a good candidate. So from there, it ended up in New Hampshire, all over New Hampshire. I really know New Hampshire quite well, actually. Massachusetts, I ended up in New York City. I ended up in Iowa at the caucus, and Wisconsin and Minnesota, where I'm from. And then, of course, in the end, I ended up in the DNC with the governor the night of the victories in Washington in 2006.
Give a flavor, since we're now back in a presidential season and we're back with a Vermonter in the race with Senator Bernie Sanders. So give us a flavor of what it's like traipsing around Iowa. What are these, you know, chicken pie suppers and things like that?
Steak fries. You know, it's really, as a Midwesterner, when you bring up Iowa, it's quite endearing to be back there, because you have you know, a populace that is quite intelligent. You have to give Iowa and New Hampshire big props for what they go through, because there isn't a household out there that doesn't have some sort of representation of what they stand for in the democratic process, who they want, who they like. They get involved. They become caucus members. They are very patriotic in taking their role seriously. In how, you know, they're going to have a huge decision in who they decide the rest of us in the country is going to focus on the most. And so, of course, you know, people of all sides are wonderful. It's one thing I love about Vermont that's similar. We reach across the aisle. We work together, and we're good neighbors. And that, I think, is what Bernie is hoping to have his message resonate as well is, you know, I think he's talking about trying to get people to realize that we're all in this together, and we need to work together to solve the very big problems this country has right now.
So take us back to 2003. We have a moment now kind of similar on the Republican side. We're up to 17 candidates with a bunch of them. These are all governors and senators, but a bunch of them are in single digits. Was similar back in Iowa in the Democratic primary in 2003. How did a guy like Howard Dean, coming from our small state, break out? What was the moment where he broke out of obscurity of single numbers and surged to be one of the top three candidates?
Well, he tacked left in a famous speech that he made in California. Can't quite remember exactly where it was, but he made it very clear that he had strong opposition to why the leaders and representatives in the Democratic Party were refusing to speak up about a choice about going to war in Iraq, and whether one, you know, thinks that was the right choice or not at this point. He was the one who stood up and wasn't afraid to go against the president, and a very huge nationalist moment in our country, where, you know, one had to be a little bit afraid about having a different opinion on things. You're either with us or against us. And when he made that announcement in particular, and along with a number of other things, you know, people had enough on the left and flocked to him. And all of a sudden, there's something called the Internet that was involved with politics for the first time. We had people being able to fund a candidate through small individual donations in a matter of millions of dollars was raised within a week to get him. You know, unfortunately, that's how much money plays in our politics, but he needed money to get going, and all of a sudden it was the small donors and not the corporate donors that were funding him, as opposed to the leading candidates.
And just to remind ourselves of who the candidates were back then, it was John Kerry, Senator John Kerry from Massachusetts, Senator John Edwards from North Carolina, Wesley Clark, the general. Those were some of the leaders who were jockeying. There were actually 10 candidates. So at the beginning, was it just Howard Hu, wherever he went?
Well, he had a very concentrated effort in New Hampshire, as one must as a presidential candidate. But when it came to the very beginnings of this blogging that was going on in the internet with left-wing politics, that's where his support started. So, yeah, it was, you know, who is this guy? But this is how politics works in this country. You know, you see these guys going for Iowa and New Hampshire, or these women, as early as they can now. I mean, the cycle of the election is constant now. There's no breaks. We are running constantly at this point. And this is around the point where when I started seeing this happen, I knew that I had to make the jump from a guy who, you know, knew that I was never going to get a chance again to make a film like this because of my family just starting out. I had to get on the bandwagon. That's when I called up my old babysitter, Deanna Camille, in who's the head of the New School documentary program in New York City. And she put me in touch subsequently with Iris Khan, the great editor and the head of the film department in SUNY Purchase in New York City. So all of a sudden I had a team put together, and that's when, you know, I was actually putting video up on a blog for Howard Dean as part of the film because I was the first human being who ever did that. I was following, going out to New Hampshire, getting some video and putting clips on this blog so that other people across the country could actually see what was happening in other places. And that was a very exciting time for the internet. Now, of course, you see that our phones and everything we do has live feeds of video now. And can you believe that was actually unheard of back then?
Right, and that was one of the hallmarks of the Dean campaign, was the first to really utilize social media in a way, in a presidential campaign, in a way that had never been done before. And he's credited with that.
Right.
We're talking with Heath Iden. He is the producer and director of a film called Lessons from an American Primary about Howard Dean's 2004 campaign for president. If you want to join the conversation, you can call 244-1777 or toll-free 877-291-8255. The title of your film, Lessons from an American Primary, what would you say are some of those lessons for somebody, well, let's say for Bernie Sanders today? What would you share with him as lessons that you learned on the campaign trail with Howard Dean?
Well, clearly one of the big moments in the film is this so-called scream moment that happened, which you know, you can get the film eventually and you can see what actually happened with that whole moment. It's a little complicated with how things work, but you know, Dean lived by the media and died by the media in a sense, in that, you know, there was a real like power struggle in a small way where it was like, who's in control of this, and the media showed
explain them what was the Dean scream for those who don't recall.
Well, the Dean scream was when Howard Dean came in third in Iowa, after, you know, being brought up to be, you know, this guy's going to go all the way and he's going to win, and unless we find out that he's unstable, could he be unstable, and then all of a sudden he's in, 5,000 people are screaming for him in a rally, and he had the youngest supporters, and they were going crazy for the guy, and everybody's going, we're going to keep going. And he's holding onto a microphone that is not attached to anything, that's designed to take mute out anything that's around him. And, you know, he had no sense himself that when he's yelling into this, he's trying to yell over the crowd so they can hear them. But in fact, when everybody out there is watching this, I was in Minnesota at the time, I'm watching this, and you could see how this was being shown and how it came off, is that he thinks that he's yelling over the crowd, but in fact, he's yelling into the microphone, and that sound is going directly to the live feed, the live pool feed for the networks. And so they're starting to crack up because they could see that this was somewhat of a rookie moment where the person didn't know that the technology that he was dealing with. And so, of course, that turned into that being played 1,000 times over the next 2 weeks. So the chance of coming back in New Hampshire as the days went on and as the, you know, late night comedy shows and everybody else started, you know, looking at that moment, it was easy to take the narrative that had been built by the media in the beginning of the campaign, the questions of Howard Dean, is he too close to the nuclear button, you know, is he sane enough to be commander in chief of you know, the greatest power in the world. And there's a moment all of a sudden where it's like, yeah, okay, gotcha. And the status quo jumped onto that, and that became a big moment. Of course, there are all kinds of other things that he, you know, maybe didn't do the right way as well, but that's all it took, and that's a lesson to learn from. And I'm not saying Bernie Sanders should know his microphone so much, but you know, one of the lessons is that you have to understand, you know, we are easily manipulated as a culture when it comes to what we're actually seeing. And the realities that we see on TV aren't necessarily what you're actually seeing when you have people in great places of power who do not want things to change because they are gaining from the way things are. And when someone comes in and they want to stir up the apple cart, there's going to be great forces, and only the most minor mistakes can actually have great consequences for the campaign. Another lesson I would also say out to the young people who are getting involved with, you know, any campaign on either side, or especially with Bernie right now, given the parallels to the campaign and in the movie, is that it's not over with an election. You know, the movement goes on, and your involvement is important in this country, especially now. And you look at what happened to Dean after. He didn't just go away. You know, he started up Democracy for America. They've helped put people in positions of electoral positions all around the country. They've a huge force. Democracy for America has been a great group that continues to spread the word and the ideas that that candidate at that time and those people really thought was important. So the work never ends.
Has Howard Dean ever seen the film?
I believe, I'm not sure because the film that we had wasn't necessarily the film. He knew that it was something that was in progress. And the question for us as filmmakers, Deanna Camille and Iris Khan, was, is he going to run for president again? When is this film actually done? And you can't imagine how frustrating it's been to, like, have things go on this long. And the hope now is that he's going to appreciate the fact that his all those people, you know, the thousands and thousands and thousands of people who have hope in him, he's going to want to be able to let other people see this film as well and get it out there so it can, you know, preserve a moment in Vermont's really important history. I mean, here we go again. We've got another politician from Vermont talking populism and saying, look, we have to work together. We have to reach across aisles, and we have to say enough is enough about Americans being thrown crumbs. And I'm not going to get into all the issues, but you know, here we go again. And so hopefully Mr. Dean will want this film to be out there as much as possible.
What do you think was the lasting legacy of the Dean campaign?
Boy, I think the... In my opinion, I look back at how this country has changed since the Iraq War and how we have been divided from each other. You know, united we stand, divided we fall. A friend of mine says that a lot, and it's true. I honestly hope that, you know, people remember that in this country, the most important thing is that we can have our opinion, and we can fight for that opinion, and then we can all hug at the end of the day, even if someone is fighting for something else. But in the end, it's, you know, standing out there and standing up for something that makes us special. And of course, on top of that, it's, you know, that it was very, you know, Barack Obama became who he was from Dean 2.0, from using the internet and taking all those people who are now in positions of power across the country who are in that campaign. and repeating it. So everybody learned a lot from that one, and I hope they continue to do so.
Okay, well, Heath Iden, he's the director of Lessons from an American Primary about the Dean for President campaign. Thanks so much for joining us on the Vermont Conversation.
Thank you, David Goodman. It's been a pleasure.